Jessica, I appreciate you reading. And I know that was a challenge. She said, I have cataracts. I'm reminded, and I'm thankful for Linda. Whenever I struggle, if it's related to worship, I never forget a time that I was just at wit's end in worship, and Linda told me that I needed to settle down, that it wasn't about me anyway. And she did it in the nicest, most polite way she possibly could have. But today, my guess is, and Jessica, I know there was a struggle when you got up there, and it was uncomfortable for you. And there's suffering. Today we're talking about suffering, and the suffering we're talking about far surpasses what Jessica was just up here and experiencing. But my guess is each of us, at least to some degree, were empathetic because you knew what it was like to know the words and not be able to recognize them and not be able to say them. So there was a struggle for you, and you know that's part of what today is about. Today we're going to talk about suffering. We're going to talk about the struggles we have. But part of what I believe God desires us to do, and I believe the Holy Spirit very well could have been a part of what happened here, we need to recognize the suffering and the challenges of other people and be able to be empathetic in a way that we desire to be used by God to convey the message that God desires for people to know that has the hope and the promise. So I want us to begin. Lord, this is your time. This is your message. And God, even the lives that we live, you give us an opportunity to make choices and to make it our life. But if we really live the way you want us to, we give our lives to you and allow our life to be your life as well. So it all belongs to you. And Lord, in the midst of that, there's hurt, there's pain, there's suffering. And Lord, it hurts at times. And we don't understand it at times, and it doesn't make sense. And God, it just doesn't seem fair. But God, at the same time, you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, went through every type of suffering that we will ever face. And because of that, you understand our struggles and our challenges. So we come to you today, seeking to know how you desire us to embrace the blessing of suffering, as was modeled by Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want you to think for a moment. This is for yourself, to keep to yourself, but when in your life have you experienced suffering? I don't mean a bad day. I mean suffering. Suffering is something that usually lasts days, probably months, maybe even years. And suffering is something that usually impacts you to the core. Suffering can come in the form of the death of a loved one. It can be ongoing health challenges, physically suffering in that way. Maybe, and I've had conversations with some recently, it could be more like the book of Job, where there just seems to be life happens and one thing after another is challenge after challenge after challenge, and you're wondering how you're going to have the strength just to put one step in front of the other. And it's not so much that there's just this one big thing, it's just that life, it seems to have taken over. Maybe that's the suffering. But there's many, many different aspects of suffering. And perhaps you're fortunate in that you aren't experiencing suffering right now, or it's been some time since you've experienced suffering. But I can tell you, it is very unlikely that any person lives any degree of life on the face of this earth without experiencing a degree of real suffering. It just happens. It's a part of life. And so today's message, it may start off and it may sound as though it's something that's a downer. But I'm telling you, it's something that you want to have. It's something you want to hold on to. It's something that will be extremely valuable for you. And not only for you, but all those who will listen. All those who you may be led to share with. So, as I come today, I've spent a lot of time praying. I've spent a lot of time praying in the past several weeks for people that I know are broken. And I regularly pray for people in this congregation, people in the community, people in my family. But maybe it's because I'm preparing the message. I'm aware, more probably than I've been in a long time, of people who aren't just in need, but who are suffering. And it hurts. So, as we continue, I believe that this suffering can turn to something that God desires to happen in a powerful way. And if you heard the scripture that Jessica read, there's a message there that's not a dark doomsday message. It's a hopeful message. Let's hear parts of it again. And the first one is, and I want to challenge you, in verses 1 and 2, as I just reflect on it again, the thing there is that we as believers have peace. We're talking about suffering. But if you've been in the midst of suffering, have you ever been suffering? Have you been having that kind of hardship? And one of the things you are truly able to say you experienced was peace? The suffering doesn't go away, but there can be peace in the midst of that suffering. Let's look again. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. It says we have peace with God. And how do we have peace? We have peace through that faith. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can stand here and I can talk about this and it sounds good, but you're not going to be able to experience it. Because the way you understand and have peace through the midst of the suffering that life gives you comes only through the faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So if you don't know that, today is a day that you can come and you can receive that. There'll be a time at the end of the service, we call it an invitation time. I would love to talk to you about that. I will pray with you about that. There are other people, there are probably people here in the congregation. If you're uncertain or haven't known about it or haven't made that decision in your life, there are people that would love to share with you. And I'm one of those. But that's where the peace comes from. The peace isn't something we create. The peace isn't something we will upon ourselves. But it comes through our faith, our relationship with Christ. If we continue looking at verse 3 through 5, this one is hard because not only does it say there's peace in suffering, but it says that we're to do something with our suffering. We're to rejoice. Is that crazy or what? Those crazy Christians talk about going around and rejoicing in their suffering. They've lost their minds. But look at what the scripture says, and maybe we'll understand why. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How many of us could use an extra dose of perseverance, character, and hope? God says when we acknowledge the peace that can come from our relationship from Him in the midst of suffering and go through that suffering, knowing that God is with us, it can change us into a different person, into the person that God wants us to be. I don't believe, especially not the specific situations that I've known of for the past month, that God caused the suffering to happen to the people that I care about and that I love and that I'm in pain for. I don't believe God caused that. But because of the fallen nature of the world in which we live, God allows it. But God does not, does not intend for us to go through it alone. And so he defeats Satan not by saying, you're not going to do this. Satan is powerful and Satan has power and does things in the midst of the earth. But if we are believers, that suffering is not something that has to break us. Because God's more powerful than Satan, and through that suffering we can become stronger. So I challenge you today to consider what that looks like in your life, in the lives of people around you who are struggling. And then to come back full circle and talk about how this happens. It happens because Christ makes it possible. In verse 6 it says, you see, just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us when we were the enemy. Our sins were what nailed him to the cross, but he died for us. He died saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And yes, he was talking about people at the foot of the cross, but I believe in a very real way he was talking about you and me as well. Because in a sense, we crucify Christ every day when we sin. But because of his death on the cross, it's ironic, because of the death on the cross, we have grace that allows us to be seen by God as he intends us to be. I'm going to ask Ray Spivey to come up. I've had some conversations with Ray, and one of the things that happens in the midst of suffering and pain is that there are things that are caused to us, done to us, that Satan loves to take and use against us. One of the biggest things in suffering at times that we have to face is forgiveness. And forgiveness is not an easy thing. And I believe with all my heart there's more than one or two people in here today. And I don't have anybody in mind, but I feel as certain as I can be that there are people who are struggling with forgiveness right now. And you're not living the life you are. You're not living the blessings you're supposed to be because you're not able to forgive. And I believe Ray is going to share with you something God desires for you to hear.
Forgiveness. Is there someone in your life you need to forgive, but something is holding you back? July 10th, 1983. Is a day I'll never forget. And that I'll remember the rest of my life. A brother-in-law came to my house at 7 in the morning to let me and Debbie know that my brother had been killed. Ray was my oldest son at the time. He'd just been born 6 weeks earlier, May 25th. It was a shock and like a bad dream. All the family and I wanted was justice. I wanted revenge, but I knew I couldn't do anything because of my newborn son. I knew in my heart that that was not the answer. After months of investigation by the sheriff's department, arrests were made, and the person that killed my brother was found not guilty. I struggled with this for 20-some years. After getting serious in my relationship with God and Jesus Christ, I knew I had to forgive the man that took my brother's life. After I forgave him, it was like a huge weight was lifted off of me. Not forgiving was only hurting me, not him. Forgiving is not easy, but God forgives us, so we need to do the same. Matthew 6, verse 15. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Do you think Ray is still suffering? He is. But because of his relationship with God, God enabled him to understand forgiveness on a level that I'm not even sure I understand right now. But that ability to embrace forgiveness and such the depth of the suffering that he was going through has enabled him to live a life that he does know the value of forgiveness. And I expect it makes a tremendous difference in his life, and it brings about some of those blessings in the scripture that we just read and enables him to live his life more the way God intends. That's just one example of suffering. When God takes it and turns it on his head and allows it to be a blessing, even in the midst of the suffering as it continues. I'm not saying that because you're Christian, God will take the suffering away. Sometimes God does, but not all times. But I can promise you God will use it for good. There's a scripture you read this morning, Romans 8, 28 says that all things will work to the good of those who believe in the Lord. And the same thing is true with our sufferings. And I know some of your sufferings. I don't know all of them. But today, please, give those to God. And through faith, embrace the blessings that can come in the midst of that. And don't let Satan continue to push you down and convince you that life is hopeless and worthless, because you have a God that cares and loves for you and desires for you to live a full life. So in the midst of the suffering that we see, in the midst of the suffering of our Lord and Savior, we have something to celebrate. That the power of suffering does not exceed the love of Christ. So today, as we acknowledge and we're honest, because you know, sometimes we struggle as Christians. We don't know what we're supposed to do, because if we're Christians, we're supposed to have it together. So when we're having these struggles, how much are we supposed to do? Are we really supposed to let people know that we're hurting and that we're having this struggle and these challenges? Or does that mean our faith isn't strong enough? I don't think so. I think we're supposed to be honest. We're supposed to be honest with each other in the midst of that. Then God is more able to lift us up in the midst of that suffering, to use it the way God desires, to make us the person God wants us to be. So today, as we close, I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, but as we close, I want you to be honest, but in the midst of that honesty, we should also be able to celebrate and to know that it's just not about the suffering, but there's hope on the other side of that. There's promise. And so it should make our souls a little bit lighter. And we should feel the comfort of each other. And like I talked about, and I think Jessica gave us an illustration without intending to this morning, we need to be able to recognize when other people are hurting and suffering and struggling. And then we need to be able to point them to Christ. And sometimes before we can do any pointing, it means us walking alongside of them. It means us handing them literally the Bible that we have, as Melissa did. Not the Bible in print necessarily as much as it is the Bible of our lives. Be willing to move as God leads. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Hymn number 52. Let's stand and sing.
And we'll sing the first three verses. Please stand.